Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. My dear friends in Christ, the passage today goes along with last week's lesson that the world will be against you because it is against Christ. So, as you read the text today, don't take Jesus' words lightly. Division will occur. I've heard people try to explain the text today this way. Oh, well, Jesus doesn't really mean that he came to bring a sword. It's just kind of a symbolic act, right? Or maybe this. We don't really know what Jesus means here, but it can't mean the plain meaning. Or, Christ is the gift of peace. Certainly, he doesn't want to split up families. The thing is, he does. Please don't take the words of Christ lightly here. He means what he says. But I think that we probably have the wrong focus on the wrong words. And I think that changes what he wants us to hear. With the wrong focus, we start asking things like, well, if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, if the church is to be the place where the entire world can come for respite, if the first words to the apostles after his resurrection were peace to you, then how could Christ come with a sword, right? Those are the wrong questions. How does a man of peace use some sort of violence? That's the wrong question. That's because we keep focusing on the word peace. But really, we should be focusing on the word earth. Christ doesn't come to bring peace on earth, so to speak. And yeah, I know the angels appeared at Christ's birth and they went to the shepherds and they said peace on earth to them. But when Christ here says earth, he's talking about the world, right? And when he's talking about the world, he's talking about everything that chooses to be outside of his forgiveness, outside of his care and provision. He's talking about the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of the world, which Satan rules over for a little while. So when Christ says that he comes not to bring peace to the earth, he's saying that his purpose on the earth isn't to take all this kingdom and make it subject to him, but to save people out of the world that they might be found holy and blameless in the sight of God. You see, he's saying, I don't come to bring peace to the world that is against me. I come to bring peace to those who love me. Right? I mean, the thing is, when we think about this, there are so many different Jesuses out there, right? I mean, how many Jesuses have you heard of, right? You've got the Mormon Jesus, right? Who is the brother of Lucifer, who was once as we are, but now has ascended to be a god. You've got the, I love this, there's a new book out from Concordia Publishing House called Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? And he talks in there about the bling Jesus, the giver of bling Jesus, right? The one who gives you all of these things. Well, I think sometimes when we think about the peaceful Jesus, we end up with a hippie Jesus, right? Peace and love and harmony, right? But Jesus isn't that. Jesus has, and he tells us today, the intention of going into homes, going into situations, and dividing families by bringing those who are his out of them. He removes the ones who are evil and lets those who are his remain. I mean, certainly, we know every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And certainly, every king and every nation will be and already is subject to him. But Jesus isn't some kind of human warrior. He's not roaming the countryside like Hercules or a Roman gladiator. He's not going to be this heroic legend who would set Israel free from the Romans. He was going to be, and he already was, and he still is, the Savior of the world, the Savior of those who are slaves to sin. It's like this. To bring peace, sometimes you have to first bring war. And make no mistake, war with humanity is nothing that God ever wanted. But God was not the one to make the declaration of war. From the first time that Eve doubted the word of God, from the first time that Adam let her bite into the fruit, from the first time that Adam let that shifty serpent speak, Adam and all of mankind declared war against the God of all righteousness. Through sin, they declared war on their Creator. They declared that they wanted him dead, or maybe a nicer way to say that, but I still think that that's true. At the very least, they knew that they knew better than he did, right? When we see countries declare war on one another, usually, at least in our modern age, it's so that we can bring some modicum of peace to that other country. I mean, for the United States, that was our stated reasoning behind the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and Vietnam and Korea and even the world wars. Now, you can think whatever you want about those wars, whether they were just or unjust or, you know, whatever. That doesn't matter. The reality is that people saw others who were in trouble and they told everyone else around us, they told the entire country, we want to help. We're indebted to help. And that war seemed like the only option. Now, sometimes this is done very well, right? Very surgically almost. And the effect is a more stable and peaceful society. But I don't know. More often than not, I think that probably isn't the way that it goes. I mean, if we're going to seek peace, sometimes violence is necessary, right? Ethicists have been debating this for years, right? Was it right for us to have carpet bombed Dresden? Was it wrong to use Agent Orange? Was it morally acceptable to set off nuclear weapons in Japan? See, we debate this. What amount of force is acceptable? What amount of crime can the world's nations live with before they have to do something? And then how should our response be tailored to that? You see, I mean, war is kind of inevitable for us. But when war is between human and human, the outcome is never certain, is it? It goes this way. It's either one side is the winner or both sides are the losers. Sometimes peace is achieved, most often it's not. But now when humans declare war on God, the outcome is certain. There's never any question. It is always in God's favor. He will win. And this is a war that God is fighting, that he has to fight. See, God can't have rebellion in his ranks. He has to remain stalwart and true. He has to be righteous. God can't allow sin to exist. And so he wars. But look at his patience. While the enemies of God work to destroy him, even by destroying each other, God uses the events of man to point toward what his ultimate plan would be. That he would send his son to redeem his enemies from their sin. I mean, instead of knocking humanity out in one fell swoop, God has worked to save humanity through the most amazing, self-sacrificing gift ever conceived. We talk about peace. The cross is not peaceful, but the cross brings peace. The cross is violent and bloody, but the cross is comforting. At least it is for you. You who believe in Christ, you who've been fed by His hand, you who've been washed by His hand, you who've been enlightened by His gifts, you are forgiven through the cross of Jesus, and you are justified in His resurrection. And the cross, even though it was invented as a torture device, it is for you the sweetest image of the world because it comforts you. And when I think of comfort, and maybe it's just because I'm a dad, I kind of get this picture, right? When I think of comfort, I think of a dad swooping in and grabbing his son and holding him close even while the dogs are nipping at his heels or the bullies are pounding on his body. And imagine the comfort of your big dad then. See, for you, the cross stands as peace. It stands as a sign that there is reconciliation between you and the Father. But for those who don't believe, the cross becomes a stumbling block. It's an offense, right? See, by the cross, well, Jesus uses it as a sword, if you will, to save those who cling to Him for salvation. Jesus is the dad in that story, if you will, and He's fighting the dogs off, or He's pushing away the bullies. Or maybe we can imagine it this way. Jesus is the hostage rescue team going into enemy territory and rescuing by any means necessary the lives of those who are held captive. And our captors are sin, death, and the devil. And what's necessary to save you is that the hostage rescue team is going to lay down their life for you. Jesus laid down His life for you. And then, defeating sin, death, and the devil, Christ would succumb to His wounds. Only, of course, we know that He would be raised again 3 days later. And this is all for you. It's all to protect you. It's all to save you. The idea is this: if Christ hadn't come into the world, then the whole world would be complacent in its sin. Never would sinful depravity, the sinful depravity of the world, never would it be challenged. And God, I mean, He could ignore the declaration of war by Adam and Eve and all of their descendants. He could leave us to our own devices. And then one day, God would just have His ultimate vengeance, right? And He would wipe everything out. But by God actually engaging in the war, by working to reveal the coming of His Son, God made sure that there would be a light, that there would be a safe haven, right? Better for God, better for humanity, that there be division among you and loved ones, saving as many people as possible, than to let every person perish in their sin. And so the sword of Christ, it divides, yes. It turns families against themselves, yes. But it does so because those who are being saved are despised. Those who are saved can fall victim to the evil machinations of sin, death, and the devil. And we who are saved would rather give ourselves over to the evil ones to do with us what they will than to be violently opposed to them. See, that's what the cross of all of this is for you. It would be so easy to go along with the world, wouldn't it? Yeah, sure, go sleep with your girlfriend. Yeah, sure, move in together before you get married. Test it out, right? Yeah, just get drunk and laugh it off. Sure, why not? Just take what you want. It doesn't matter. Oh, yes, the world absolutely does need to let you be your true self. It would be easier, wouldn't it? At least easier for me, not really easier for anybody else, if you can just do whatever you want, right? Whenever you want, just like the rest of the world does. Wouldn't that be great? But see, then you'd be going along in your sin, wouldn't you? See, your cross is that you are called to something higher. Because you're redeemed in Christ, you're called to a holier life. You're called to be the beacon on the hill. You're called to tell all about the comfort of Jesus Christ. You're called to be righteous as Christ is righteous. And until the day comes, when Christ comes to make the new heavens and the new earth, until the day comes when he arrives to bring you up out of your grave, the world is going to be in a constant state of war with God. But the end of the war is coming. It is. It's almost in sight. Until that day, God's camp on earth, you, the church, will continue to struggle with sin because we are in the war with God. If you struggle with your sin, you are saved. Because if you were not saved, you would not care. And I know you will give in to your temptations. You will. But you will be forgiven of all of your sins. Because in God's camp, we are always led to repentance and forgiveness. We are led to righteousness. We're called to righteousness. We're given forgiveness. We're called to peace, but we live in an age of war. We're called to comfort, yet we're surrounded on every side. But don't fear. The Lord cannot and will not be defeated. Who could stand against the Lord? Who can win against God? No one. And you've not been called. You've not been called to stand against God. You've not been called to stand with God. You have been called to stand behind him, to follow him as he's won the victory for you. He will defeat all evil. And indeed, he's already won that victory through the death of Christ. Though it may not look like it, the battle's been won for a long time. Christ has divided the righteous from the evil, and he has done so by his sword of the word. He has saved his beloved bride. And now we only await the day that comes when we receive our papers that say we can return home to leave in peace and security with Christ for all of our days. May that day come quickly, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.